We're a blessed nation. We just, you know, we traveled several little towns in Spain and saw a lot of history, really, and visited some cathedrals and took some pictures of history and went in and people be praying in these old churches and just any time of the day and night we visited all times. And I told Jake at one point, I said, they said, what do you want to do, Dad? I said, I want to do what the natives do. And he said, well, one evening, he said, well, they eat dinner about 10 o'clock. I said, well, I want to eat dinner about 10 o'clock then. Michelle's shaking her head. I know you're not supposed to eat. It's tapas, you know, they call it tapas. And so we go and you just sit and have your drink of choice. And all kinds of, in fact, we saw on the airport coming home 100 favorite tapas of Spain. And so they have all those. And we just sat and visited with the people and had fun and enjoyed. But you know what I noticed is we come here and the food selection is greater. Everything's greater. I mean, we're so blessed just to have everything around us and have access to what we have access to. And there's one point I said, you know, I just like to have a regular glass of iced tea. So I'm thankful for a regular glass of iced tea. What one glass I did get was some kind of peach flavored something or other, and they don't put ice in your drink. I'm thankful for ice. Such little things that we just take for granted that we have and access to every day. And so, in your travels, you know, you enjoy what they enjoy and the beautiful scenery and all, but just there's so many little things. I thought we just every day is right there. It's just right there for us. And so just be thankful. I know that we all have times when we go through tough times and we don't achieve a goal or we don't we're not able to buy that thing we wanted or whatever it may be. But we have a lot of things to be thankful for. What I'd like to give you today is really a few statements, four statements here. That says, this is why that I know that you have a bright future and you should be thankful for. I might make mention before we get started, the Thanksgiving dinner, just say a thank you to our young people, Kayla and Haley and all of you young people that did that this year. What a blessing that is to have young people that will go put out a lot of effort so that needy families can have a great lunch for Christmas or Thanksgiving and what. So here's what I'd like for you to do. If you know of a family that's in genuine need, let Kayla or Haley or Scott or Spencer or one of the our young adults know that there's a need, and we'll get them a gift card for a Christmas dinner and or any time in between. That's what we do that for. And so thank you all for raising $750 to feed needy families this year. We appreciate that very much. And Mark wanted me to mention that we're just a little over $100 away from the well. Yeah. That's something else. You know, we just go over to the well, to the faucet, and we just turn the water on. Most of us just use bottled water now for that. But, I mean, you know, we have access just to go over and turn it on and get us a cool drink of water and there's so many places in the world that doesn't have, but now some village in Adam has called Life Outreach, and they're going to take a picture and kind of get it autographed by James or something, and we'll show you that a little later on about our well for that you guys have provided, so somebody can go and have a refreshing drink and something that we have access to every day. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Everybody got your sword today? Look at all the swords. We are people of war, aren't we? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians, the first chapter, if you'll turn with me there. And I've got a few scriptures I want to kind of go to today. But this is just a foundation. In fact, I hope you don't miss the it's a simple message, and I hope you don't miss the power of the message because of its simplicity. I just believe that every day when you and I get up, we have a choice to make, an attitude about how we'll act and react and how we'll look at things. When Jan and I hit Madrid, our son said, what's your layover time? And we told him it's a couple hours. He said, you'll need all of that. And we did, going and coming. Might just give you a traveler's tip. And if you're ever going to Madrid, it's a big airport, and you need a lot of time to find your tickets and where all you're supposed to be. But in that time when we were trying to catch our flight, I got in my mind, and even knowing it's we had an hour because of the time difference and all, we had an hour to get our, and I thought, we're going to miss our flight. Because, you know, time you get off the plane and you get over to where you're supposed to go, we're finding that and finding out, we went to business and then we went to class and then we went to, you know, everything has a little compartment and you have to go different, it's got different floors. And so Jana said something about, well, let's go this way. And I looked and I saw where she wanted to go. I said, why do you want to go that way? And all of a sudden I could tell I'd crossed the line. How many knows when you cross the line? I have discernment. And so I don't remember exactly what kind of words she used, but she fired back something about, well, just fine then, or, you know. And so anyway, we finally found where we were headed and got the right direction and we got to our destination. I said, I apologize for my attitude. And she said to me, she said something that helped me grow. And she said, you know what? You are too mature to act like that. Now, there's correction in that, but there's also somebody, how many knows there's also a compliment if you look? Huh? She said, you are too mature to act like that. Now, she didn't own any responsibility in the argument, but as head of my home, listen, guys, as head of our home, we're to settle the disputes with love and leading them in love and apologies and things. And the quicker we learn that, the better off we'll be, because that's just our responsibility as head of our home. That's ruling with love. You know, we're called to rule our home, but we're called to rule them with love, not with the, you know, I'm the man of this house. And so she says, you're too mature to act like that anymore. And so, and that really, I thought about that coming home as I was thinking about the message and reading a book called Primal Leadership, and it deals with your frontal lobe and your all these things that go on in your mind and what separates and it ties right into this. And I think we need to understand that there comes a time in our Christian walk that we're too mature to act like that, whatever that is. If it doesn't look like Christ, then we're too mature to act like that. And so I appreciate her words, and it helped me to say, you know what, I really am. And if I want to go to another level, which I do, I always want to keep going to a different level and learning and growing as a Christian, being a disciple. That's what a true disciple is. It's a learner. It's somebody that goes from one faith to the in one line and one level to the next. And so I thought, you know, I really appreciate that word. And let that be a check to me in my heart that when I'm not acting like Christ or I get sharp with somebody I love, somebody, whomever it may be, somebody I don't even know. We had one little encounter we were in Sevilla. It's an old historical town and a pretty good sized city. And we went through some art museums and things and sitting there, and it was an American, what was it, like Hollywood of America or something in the restaurant. And we ordered like a couple of, little children's hamburgers. Hamburguesa, and potatoes, you know, the French fries, and so they were going to eat. The kids were going to eat these, and they said a combo meal. How many knows what a combo meal is? A combo meal in America means I want a burger, a fry, and a drink, right? Well, on the kids' menu in Sevilla, there was a order called a combo order. We want a combo, so they gave us one hamburguesa and one combo. And it was rather expensive, and that's one thing that I, you know, when you talk about a bright future, and you go to Spain, you go over there in Europe, and the euro is a lot stronger than the dollar. Do you know that? Kind of depressing, you know. Used to we travel as Americans, and our dollar was always strong, and now we're not. And so, anyways, kind of, but we had euro, and we're paying, and our daughter-in-law was really getting upset. She's a little high-tempered, and she really got upset because no, we ordered two. Dos hamburguesas, you know, and she's Filipino, and all of a sudden it escalated. In a restaurant over a hamburguesa. How many has ever been in a restaurant and it just elevates? Listen, you and I have a bright future, and to set and get elevated over a hamburger. How many knows we need to grow a little? Now, she's not a real mature Christian and all, and so it elevated. And at one point, she says to the other waiter that finally came over, like the manager guy, she said, "In America, a combo is a drink, a French fry, and a hamburger." He said, "You are not in America. You are in Spain." I thought, I surrender. That's a good point. That's what I would tell you if you were in America. You are not in Spain. This is a combo. There's a point for you. But my, what I'm bringing that up for is we elevate over little things that doesn't matter. And if you're ever going to think that I have a bright future, one of the things we have to do is let the little things go. Paul put it this way, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark. And the mark should be maturity. It should be a loving individual that says, I don't care what situation I'm in or how you disagree with me, you're going to see my love because it's just going to be in me and it's going to come out of me toward you. That sounds easy, but it's hard, isn't it? When we can get upset over such little things. And I said to the gentleman, I said, you know what? Just bring us uno hamburguesa. One more hamburger, you know, and I will pay. I thought, you know, my dad taught me as growing up, sometimes it's worth a little bit of money to know what kind of people they are. And I thought, you know, I will pay the $6 or $8, whatever it was, in American money for this hamburger, and I won't be back. I won't argue with you. I love you. I left the guy a good tip, but I won't be back. Because, as Jana says, you're more mature than that. So if we're gonna keep our focus on we have a good future, we have to get over our attitude. Just on, I didn't get one amen. Just check. One, two. Okay. All right. So let me give you the four statements real quickly here. In Philippians 1:3, Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Let me ask you something. Is there anyone that you could, if you thought of every time you were with them, every occasion that you were around them, that you would say, oh, I just give thanks for that? Very few people like that, if any, that you can say that about. You know, I mean, every time you're around them. Family members, certainly not. Haven't you butted head with your family and you weren't so thankful for that part of the life of the family? Maybe at work, there's that part. But every day, he said, on every remembrance of you, I give God thanks. I thank God for every remembrance of you. That's maturity. That's somebody that, and by the way, he's writing this from prison. Some of these scriptures we read in Philippians sounds like he's at church camp and he's just spreading the gospel and enjoying the day. But he's not. He's in prison. That's maturity. This is a guy that knows he has a bright future and he's thankful for it. I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy. All with joy. Every time I think about you, I think of you with joy. See? That's a man that knows he has a bright future in the Lord. All the petty stuff, he said, it just falls off, and every time I think of you, I think of you with joy. He says, for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day, from the very first day until now. And then here's your key verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's your future. Everyone that has accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, at that moment, He's began a different and a good work in you, and He will perform that until He comes. It's not going to change. Now, we may go through different valleys and peaks and all, but He says, I'm going to be there. I'm going to perform this certain work in you until Jesus returns. Now, turn with me to Genesis, the first chapter. So, my first statement I want to give to you is this. You have a great future because God planned it that way. Because God planned it that way. From the very beginning, when God made you, He made a good plan to go along with you. That's God's plan for you to have a bright future. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. How many knows the Spirit of God is still hovering? It's so cool. In our walks, we'd take our exercise, and we had a big lap around their housing addition inside the base, and every day when we was walking, there's something hovering, you know, in the air, and there was something over here in the water hovering over the top of the water. It was the neatest thing. When we do our daily walks, I thought, how many people has been able to walk and say, oh, look at those battleships over there, just floating right out there in the ocean from where we was walking. Just so cool. And then we walk on around, and then here's a whole fleet of Black Hawk helicopters setting out there. It's a cool walk. It's just hovering, you know. And we went to the Rock of Gibraltar. You ever been there? If you ever get a chance to go to Gibraltar, that was one of the most memorable places I've ever visited. History, rich in history, where the Spaniards would have it and the Moors would have it, and then it's under British rule right now, has been for a long time. But you can just see the presence of God as they talk about the history and when Hitler was trying to take over that part of the world, how that he didn't, he never thought about Gibraltar being such an important place. But in between Africa and Gibraltar, they call it the Strait of Gibraltar, and that's where the ships would come in. And on this rock and on this mountain, they have cannons. When you go in the tunnels, and there's cannons sticking out the cave, out into the over here in the Mediterranean, and out here over the Atlantic Ocean. And these big cannons are pointed out of these, looks like cliffs, look like a big rock cliff, and they're pointed out over the enemy coming in. And then in between Spain and Gibraltar, you have to walk across an airstrip that was built. Our president at the time helped build part of that, and that airstrip as a strategic place. And I thought, even back then, when I was a little kid, and maybe some of you weren't even born, God was hovering over this earth, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over this earth, saying, I'm gonna put people where I need to put people, and armies where I need armies, and I'm gonna put them in strategic place so that I can protect those that I want to protect. Even when we're not aware of it, he's placing men and armies and people all over this planet still. I mean, He's put it all together in the sun and in Genesis, but even throughout history, He's placing people where they need to be. And finally, they realize what an important and strategic place that would have been to try to take over. But it's just like a sheer rock cliff, and it's got monkeys all over it. They don't even know how the monkeys got there. Somewhere in the, I think, 1700s, they came across. You can look across, and there's Morocco, about less than 8 miles across the Strait of Gibraltar. And I thought, even then, through all this time, through history, God, and today, some of us worry, and all you young people that think, you know, oh, the nuclear bombs, and it's so terrible, and we have murders in our city every day. I want to tell you something. Through the power of Jesus Christ, you have a bright future. And you can focus on what's going wrong, or you can focus on your bright future. But I'm telling you, if you choose to focus on a bright future today, you have one through the promise of this Word. And that's what I challenge you to focus on. People like Paul Houck and some of our veterans that have, Owen Nysa, that have given their sacrifice, their lives, so that in those type of wars we could live today. And there's still people that are giving their life and sacrificing. God's still placing people. The Spirit is still hovering, and He's still interceding for us. And it says in verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was what? It was good. And so He goes on down and He creates the seeds and the herbs and the animals, and then finally the human that were made in His image and His likeness. And then in verse 31, it said, God saw everything that He had made, and indeed was very good. Everything He made, and it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so God created everything that we have here and everything we enjoy. And He looked at it when He got through and He said, it's very good. It's very good. So you have a bright future because God said, He set it up that way. He put you on this planet. And you say, I know He did, but then sin came in and messed everything up. Now we murder and we kill and we backbite and we do all these things. And so the second reason I want you to know you can have a bright future in spite of all the sin and things is because Jesus restored God's plan. Hallelujah for Jesus. Look at John 10:10. And we give God the glory for restoring His plan. How many knows we don't live under the law anymore? We live under what? Grace. In fact, Peter puts it this way. He said, why don't you grow in grace? In other words, you've got room to move, room to expand, room to fail. John Maxwell wrote a book years ago, Failing Forward. That's kind of what grace is. Failing forward. When you fall, you can say, what did I learn? Why he says in his book, he says, while you're down there and you're falling, just pick something up. You know, we don't get down there always. So pick something up. Pick a good learning lesson, a life lesson. Pick something up while you're down in the just like me when Jana told me, you're too mature to act like that anymore. While I was down, I just picked it up and thought, that's a good principle I need to just hang on to for a while. So Jesus restored it all. Look in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And so if there's something in your life and you're talking about being thankful and you want to be thankful, but it just seems like there's something wrong and something's being taken, or there's a part of you that's dying because of something or being destroyed, just remember that's probably a part of Satan's ploy and he's active, and so you can rebuke that part. And Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life. Jesus came and He did His ministry. He lived His sinless life so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. So here's what I want you to know. If you're not living life and you're not living it more abundantly, it's not Jesus' fault. It's your fault. And that may be hard for some of you if you're going through some things, but I'm telling you, He came that we could have abundant life, and so we shouldn't sell out or settle for anything less than abundant life. What does that mean, abundant life? Well, it's going to mean different things to different people, but what it means to me at this stage in my life is having a great relationship with my spouse. We're taking an evening walk with my wife, and we walk and we talk and studying the Bible and ministering and watching people grow as I minister the Word and give you a nugget to chew on this week. And what does it mean to you to have abundant life? It means different things, but you should find that and say, God has promised me abundant life. Everything He made was good, and then Jesus came that we may have a life and have abundant life, so I'm going to enjoy abundant life. I'm going to take hold of abundant life. You ever had somebody look at you and say, you just know something, don't you? You're always smiling. You know something, don't you? And you say, well, yes, I do. It's Jesus Christ. I know Jesus. And you enjoy the abundant life. And they look at you. And Jesus told His disciples, we're in John. Just look over on the 16th chapter. Sometimes, have you ever felt alone? Anybody in here ever felt alone? Like you just, you're in it. No one cares. You're all alone. Let me show you something here that Jesus said, and it applies to us today. In 16:31, Jesus answered them is His closest disciples, the ones He's poured His life into. Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, now has come that you will be scattered, each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone. And if you're familiar with the story of the Easter story where they did, they all scattered. Peter even cursed and said, "I don't know the man." And Jesus said, "Although every one of you left, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You have a bright future because Jesus Christ lives in you and He has overcome the world. Jesus restored God's plan. And so He said, you may feel alone at times, but I just want you to know you're never alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You'll always have Jesus with you. Now, look in Luke chapter 4. I want to show you something. We're talking about a foundation here for a bright future. Luke chapter 4. You may be here today and you may say, "Well, you know, I'm just going through a lot of things right now. See, I'd like to have abundant life, but I'm going through a lot of things at this present time and I just can't, you know, get it together." And well, here's why you can look at that and say of assurance, "I'm going to have a bright future." Jesus says this in Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Good news to the poor. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're just broke. You just flat broke. He said, "Well, I got good news for people that are poor." And that's not only financially, that's poor in spirit and poor in life. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Maybe you're sitting here today brokenhearted. And He said, "You know what? Jesus has come to heal that," whatever that is. Remember when He said, when He sent Moses into Egypt, you remember He said, "Who should I tell them is sending me?" He said, "Tell them I am that I am." And Moses really didn't like that answer, but the answer is, whatever you need, I am. If you need your heart healed, I am. If you need finances, I am. If you need your brain healed and relieved and pressure taken off, I am. I'm peace that passes understanding. I am. So whatever you're going through, He says, you know, if you're brokenhearted, "I've come to proclaim liberty to captives." You feel like you're in captivity today to some situation, just like that hamburger incident that held my daughter-in-law hostage for about 10 hours almost. We got home that night and I said, they give the kids some little bags, you know, the little tote bags, and they opened those up, and I said, "Well, look, it's Joy's favorite restaurant." And I can't tell you what her response was. And I will have a talk with her about that. I didn't get a chance before we left, but a hamburger discussion held her captive. Her joy, her ability to enjoy the day kept her captive for almost 10 hours. And we think, "Oh man, that's terrible." Well, you know what? But we're not a lot better. Because we get an attitude and we let that thing settle in our heart and mind for hours. Sometimes days. Yeah, years. Over stuff that really is not important. I heard a story one time about the Titanic. When the Titanic sank, and all the jewels and the silver and the wealth that was on that ship, and as people were running to the lifeboat, instead of grabbing bags or going to rooms and looking for money, the person that said that was in the story said what they grabbed was four oranges on the way out the door. All of a sudden, four oranges become more valuable than any kind of a trinket they could have picked up off the table, a chandelier or a bulb or, you know, whatever it might have been. Because it was a very wealthy crew that traveled on the, or group that traveled on the Titanic. But they grabbed four oranges on the way out to the lifeboat. All of a sudden, the value of an orange and the value of things just it's taken its rightful place. So we need to remember when we're letting a hamburguesa steal our victory for 10 hours or some discussion with our spouse that we have a disagreement that's capturing our joy and our love and our heart and the ability to enjoy the day. That's pretty petty. Amen. I've come to set liberty those who are oppressed. If you're oppressed today, Jesus Christ has died and given His life and given you power over oppression. So if you're here today and you feel oppressed, Jesus is your answer. That's why you can have a great life and a great future. He's come and He said, I've taken care of all that. John 14:27, He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do you have peace today? Peace in every area? Any area you can think of in your life, you say, and when I think on that, I have peace. That's why I think it's so important, the prayer that I pray every day. Father, forgive my sins. And I forgive and I release those who have sinned against me. I just pray that every day. Because I just need to know that that's cool. That's taken care of. You say, well, you should be past that by now. Well, I'm not. I pray. Because He said, this is the model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And here as it is in heaven. So, Jesus restored God's plan. And then finally, the Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in all Christ's followers. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then you should have a great future. Look in John, the 14th chapter. The Holy Spirit lives in you. That's why you can have a great future. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And He's dwelling in you. How many knows that the Bible says you can quench the Holy Spirit? You know, we quench the Holy Spirit, we begin to let the flesh rise up and we begin to follow fleshly desires. How many knows when Janice says, you're too mature to act like that anymore, I could have took it differently. How many has ever had somebody looked at you and said that? You're too mature to act like that. And you did take it differently. There's times when I've taken it differently, but I thought, well, she is right and I am, and I should be ashamed of acting like that. Getting an attitude. Will I ever get another attitude? Probably. But I'll try to use that great piece of advice my wife gave me to help me over the next time and not hang out there. How many knows we can hang out if we want to, or we can ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us that's already in us and living in us and dwelling in us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's part of the Holy Spirit working inside of you and me. So, He says in John 14, if you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we express our love to Jesus and show our love. And that's how the fruit of our love is shown, by keeping the commandments of God. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you for how long? Forever. Forever. You mean when I'm acting ugly, He's going to be there? Absolutely. He won't make you straighten up, but He'll sure be there to empower you the moment you decide to straighten your life up, to turn it over and give it to Him. He's in you. Every Christ follower, He's in. The Spirit of truth, whom the Word cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be and is now in you. So you've got a bright future because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So God gave us a very good planet to live on. He gave us Jesus Christ to restore our plan, and He gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us to make sure we have a great future. And then the last thing I want you to know is you have to decide to take it and live it. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father's done all they're going to do. They're not going to do anything else except give you access to the power to live a godly and holy and vibrant life. It's already done. And if you're here today and you're living below that, my challenge to you is to take hold of that and turn it around and quit letting whatever's taking you hostage just say no more after today. I have a bright future in Christ, and I won't act this way, and I won't react this way, and I won't think this way, and I won't walk this way, and I won't talk this way. I'm going to act like a person that's got a bright future. When you came up and hung the ball on the tree, and you know there's all kinds of stories behind each ball, and each one of us could tell a heartache we've had in our life. We could tell a something that was devastating to us. We could all talk about times when it was great and our most exciting moments, and all that's mixed in every ball and every family and every individual that's put it on there. And for you that wrote Dr. Pepper and Wi-Fi and computers and what was it the little kid said? I thank God for computers. Yeah, you know, whatever. Well, that's okay, because God loves you and He wants to provide all that stuff for you. But just don't forget, it's not about all that stuff. It's about the planet that you're on is provided by God. The restoration of the relationship to the God that planned us in the Garden of Eden has been restored through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that empowers you, dwells in you, lives in you, gives you that ability to live a great and holy and happy life. Father, we're thankful. We are thankful that we have a bright future in Jesus Christ. In John 10:10, He said, remember we read, He said that they might have it more abundantly, which means you don't have to if you don't want to. In fact, He even said the same thing in John 3:6, whosoever believes in me should not. Didn't say you couldn't, but you should not perish. And so what I'd like for you to do today is just say today, I have a bright future in Christ, and I'm thankful for that. Would you say that? Just say it to the Lord right now. I'm thankful for a bright future. I'm thankful for a bright future. I look around, some of you may be toward the end of your journey, and some of you just starting your journey. We're all at different places and ages. But you know what? From here out, we can just be thankful for our journey. Remember when Moses was 80, that's when he finally came to him and said, okay, now you're able to go deliver people. So you've got a bright future in Christ. Father, we thank you today that you've given us this wonderful planet to live in. And as Christ followers, you placed us in one of the most blessed places on this planet, in the United States of America. A place where we have plenty. We have so much abundance. And sometimes, Lord, we get our mind and our heart on petty things. Not that they're not real, but in the scope of everything else, in the scope of life and our health and breathing and functioning as a living soul that's made in the image of God, we let it capture our joy. We let it capture our countenance, our heart, our mind, and hold us captive for hours and days and sometimes years. Today, Lord, we just pray that those chains will be broken. You sent Jesus to come and deliver us from captivity and to heal our broken hearts and to heal us of oppression. And today, Lord, we come to your altar and we receive that healing today. Holy Spirit, right now, that you're living inside each believer, and I ask you, God, to come. And Holy Spirit, just begin to activate in our hearts and minds right now the peace and the freedom that Jesus Christ left us. To lay down all the hurt and all the oppression and all the things that have captured us and set captives free right now in Jesus' name. Help us to lay hold on this abundant life that Jesus left us. Right now, as we go through these holidays, we pray that those around us will say, what happened to you? You seem so happy. You seem so focused. You seem so blessed. What happened to you? And we can share with them that I have a bright future through Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful. And I'm living it. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's what I want. I just want that abundant life, and I'm not living it right now. But I want to raise my hand as I signify faith that from this day forward, I'm going to live that life. And I want you to pray over me. If you're here today and you want that, and you'd like me to pray over you today, this is the life I want from this day forward. You're oppressed, you're in captivity to something, just raise your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your honesty. Heavenly Father, for these that have their hands raised today, we thank you, Lord, for new beginnings for them. We ask in Jesus' name that the truth that's been preached today, that you created everything and it was very good. And that the things that were stolen and destroyed by Satan and sin, today we know that Jesus came and He restored everything, and we're under grace and we're under the abundant life and the peace that Jesus Christ provided. And so today I pray over those that raised their hand and said, I'm not living it, but today I want it, and to this day forward I will have it. I will have peace that passes understanding. I will have a bright outlook for my future, and the joy that I once had will return and engulf them and empower them, because the joy of the Lord is their strength. Right now, help them, Lord, to lay the burdens down and lay the things down, and whatever they need to ask forgiveness, just to say, God, forgive me for staying there. You didn't create me to stay there, and I repent and I turn to you and I turn to the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, I will live that great and bright future that you've laid out for me. Today, my joy will return, my life and the way I look at things will be restored, and I can see things as God sees them, and I will have great hope through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being honest today, and thank you for your new start today. Hallelujah.